All right, joining me now in studio is Roman. He is from Ukraine. My wife and I were eating at a favorite cafe of ours here in the Mid-South the other day, and he was sitting right next to us with some friends of his from the U.S. who live here in the Mid-South, and I detected his accent. And then when his food arrived, he prayed, and he prayed such a beautiful prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. I thought, wow. And so I said, that's a beautiful accent. Where are you from? He says, Ukraine. And one of his sponsors, a lovely couple from the Mid-South, said he's about to have his first American hamburger. And so I'm like, oh, really? You just got here? He said, yeah, last night. So we began to talk, and he actually said, hey, I can put your phone number in my phone. We can stay in touch. I said, sure. I'd love to have you come in the studio while you're still here in the States. And so he has graciously agreed. His name is Roman, and he lives in Ukraine. I want to interview him from the perspective of just a man on the street. Now, yes, he's a Christian. We can interview him from that perspective, too. He's a father. He's a husband. But I want to interview him from the perspective of just being the average Ukrainian on the street. What's happening, what he thinks about what's happening, and where he thinks this is going. Roman, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right. So what are you doing here in the U.S.? What brought you here?
I came here from a company's retreat. The name of the company is Active Prospect, based in Austin, Texas. And then...
So you're an IT kind of guy.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I'm like a solution engineer helping the clients from all over the world. And then I was coming here, I get a call to my dear friends, John and Meryl Whittemore, and they says, you're coming to the United States, you're coming to our place as well. So they helped me to get here, and I'm here for a week, and probably, hopefully tomorrow, after I'm going back home to Ukraine, to my wife, to see my kids. I do miss them, I miss my country. All the time while I'm here, I'm physically here, but my mentally and emotionally, spiritually, I'm there fighting with our people, and all the time I'm in touch with our pastors, and it's hard times for Ukraine. So it's my pleasure to be with you to answer all your questions and to raise support. And we thanks first of all to all you United States people, to all Americans who keep praying, who keep standing with us, because it's very important, and it's a pleasure to be with you and just answer your questions.
Yeah, thank you, Roman. Well, and I want to be real clear, you know, I don't endorse everything my government does. Okay. And I don't endorse everything some governments do that I may be in favor of that. Like Israel. I'm very pro-Israel, but that doesn't mean I agree with everything the Israeli government does. What I really do is I stand with the Jewish people.
Okay.
Right? I stand with the Jewish people, and sometimes I'm very unhappy with what I see the Israeli government doing, right?
Right.
But I stand with the Jewish people. And I'm kind of that same way, obviously, here in America. I'm for the American people, while I disagree with most of everything my government does, right? But I'm for the American people.
Okay.
Those who are for traditional values and our constitutional republic and faith and family. And I feel that same way about Ukraine. I'm not so sure about your government. You know, I'm a little queasy over what your government's up to sometimes, but I'm very, very concerned with the Ukrainian people. And I feel the same way in some regards to the people in other countries that are being persecuted. I see where people in Iran are fighting for their liberty and freedom. I'm very much opposed to the Iranian regime, but my heart goes out to the Iranian people that are being persecuted by that regime. So I think, for me speaking personally, I look at what's happening in Ukraine and I say, I'm not so sure about that government over there, but I sure feel for those Ukrainian people. And I think a lot of Americans are. They don't know what to make of what's going on, but I do know a lot of us. We don't really know what to make of your government sometimes and your president, and maybe some corruption inside your government, and particularly corruption with your government and our corrupt president and his family members that I'm speaking of specifically. But I do know this. I don't like Putin. I don't like Putin. I don't agree with Putin.
Me neither.
And I'm very bothered by Putin's alliances with North Korea, Iran, China. So this is like a lot of conflicts. This has a lot of sides to it. But I'll go back to what I said in repeating myself. I'm concerned about the Iranian people. So as an Iranian, excuse me, I'm concerned about the Ukrainian people. So as a Ukrainian, tell me what is going on at the street level.
So first of all, good question. And thank you for asking this question. But I'm not the government person. As you said before, I'm kind of a man from the street. We have a church, Baptist church, back in Rivne, Ukraine, and we do a lot of humanitarian work, a lot of work with the refugees. But what I see right now, that God is in control of everything. Even in these difficult times for Ukraine, God's will is upon everything. And I can tell you for sure that taking an example from Bible, Job, for example, we see that he went through these difficult times in his life. He lost possession, he lost money, big money. He was one of the richest person, probably one of the richest person that time. But God led him through this hard period. And I believe that this, something similar has happened to Ukraine nation. I think something will brought out from all this. That's my hopes. Talking about the government, you mentioned during your speech a couple of times the corruption about the government. Yes, we're not perfect. We're human beings. And government, those people who are in charge of some big money, probably they're making some mistakes in their own self-interest. That's what you said, that it's everywhere in every country.
Yeah.
However, what I know for sure, that starting from February 24th, when this war began, our nation, our government, all the officials, they get together. They got together and they were united. For example, right now, our President Zelensky, he's doing a great job giving different interviews, giving different speeches, trying to raise support. Because you can just look at the map, whoever will watch this and listen to us, you can look at the map and just see how big Russia is. You can see how like the size of that country. And that country is attacking our country, Ukraine, which is the biggest country in Europe. For what? You want to have the land? You have enough land over there. Just grow, do your business, sell, buy, like develop the tourism or whatever. Do you want people? You have enough people. But this is, again, from the Christian perspective, this is the Satan in work. Satan works. The Satan in active mode right now. So, and that's why, again, back to the government, I'm really happy to be Ukrainian, have the citizenship, to show my passport when customs ask me, because I know that right now Ukraine stands as one. We have solidarity, we have one principles, we all fight for our freedom. And for example, right now I was listening to our local mayor, Alexander Tretiak, and he just telling people, our soldiers are fighting, so in case you have no electricity, no power, maybe no hot water, just take it easy, relax, because our soldiers are protecting us. So we need to be grateful for what we have. While being here in the States, I'm super happy to enjoy the life, seriously. My friends took me to different places, Shelby's Park, different nice restaurants. I can see your nice houses and everything. And you need to be, again, reevaluate your life, appreciate everything. And the same, I'm getting home. I know that I talked to my wife, and I know that we have windows, steel windows, we have doors, we have something in our fridge. Of course, probably no power for a couple of days because Russian missile hit our power station. But again, this war is making us reevaluate our principles, our values. And for now, I have no direct contact with government representatives, but I see with what I see that government is doing all possible to fight, to stand together, and be united.
So tell me, what do you think they're after? If they have their own land, and you say they have plenty of it, they have their own people.
You mean Russia?
Yeah, the Russia.
Okay.
They have plenty of land. They have plenty of people. What are they after? Are they after your rich farmland? Are they after oil? Are they after natural gas? What do you think you have that Russia wants? Or is this just about expanding the Soviet Union? Is this, what was the Soviet Union? Is this also about concerns that... In other words, maybe, I guess the question is, was Ukraine set up? I mean, you guys were almost seems like kind of set up for this. If the American president had come out and just simply said, hey, we have no intentions of bringing Ukraine into NATO and therefore moving weapons into Ukraine closer to Russia, we're not going to do that. Leave Ukraine alone. We're not going to do that. It seems like if our government had come out and NATO had come out and been very strong about that from the beginning, but they weren't. I don't know. I could be 100% wrong. I don't know. How do you feel? I almost feel like some of the NATO countries set you guys up by not being so adamant. We're not going to bring Ukraine into NATO and leave therefore them alone.
All right. Let's get back to the before February 24th. Let's remember that Ukraine is an independent country.
Yes.
It's up to us whether to be a member of NATO, to be a member in whatever union or whatever. It's up to us. It's our citizens' rights to choose whether we want to be with them or not. But again, coming back to the first part of your question, when this war started, what was the initial purposes? Putin was telling that I'm going to protect Russian speakers, those who are in Donetsk, Lugansk. Then they occupied Zaporizhia, Mariupol, and other cities. They won that island, Crimea, so they got it. Now they're just proud of that. But in reality, they're not protecting anyone. They're just destroying. They're making just genocide of Ukrainians. Just a few minutes ago, I was in touch with our pastor, who's in Kherson right now, in Mykolaiv. They just brought some humanitarian aid, and he showed me some pictures. And he showed me those destruction. There is new stores are destroyed. New business centers are destroyed. People have no power, no water, no electricity. Right now, they're just cooking some rice with meat in the church and just feeding people. And that's a reality, and that's the 21st century. That should not be happening these days. So this is just immoral, inhumanity, whatever you call it. This is genocide, and this is not what should be happening. And again, coming back to the NATO, Ukraine never voted or was running to NATO so badly. Yes, it's our course. That's what our previous president Poroshenko wanted to be there. And going back to the history when we rejected and gave up of our nuclear power and signed the Budapest Memorandum, we were just say, okay, we have no nuclear power here. We're not dangerous for anyone, just protect us. That's what our president Kravchuk signed. But afterwards, now we see the result. We signed the contract, we needed that protection. And nowadays, the same country who was the biggest country, like supporter, our brother, we call it, but now they're attacking, they're trying just to destroy everything. They understand that we have enough equipment and weapons to be strong on the land, so now they're trying to attack, destroy civilian infrastructure, like energy system. They just try to cut us from the power. Yes, they are smart. This is from the military perspective, from the enemy's perspective, they are very tricky because they know no power, people are chaos, no electricity, people trying to run from the country. It breaks my heart to see young boys who can build the country, who can make Ukraine as the biggest country even in the world with all our land, with all our IT industry, but still, that's what they are doing. So there is no excuse, we can't forgive them even for that. So it's very difficult times, but we hope, we ask, and we stand with our partners to the end. I mean, we're not going to give up. There is no way. It's hard. People are dying. People are, the families are destroyed and all this stuff. But we're not going to give up. It's better to have no electricity, no power, no water, maybe some destroyed houses, but we don't need Putin. We don't need his Russian peace, he called it. We don't need that peace. I mean, just come to Ukraine. Whoever is watching or listening to us, come to Ukraine for one day, at least one day. I'll take you to Kherson, to Mykolaiv, and you will see. And you will see no houses, and you will see those grandmothers who says, we don't want to leave the country, we don't need that peace, and who just grabbing that bread and food packages, and they're just so thankful. Just think about when you're eating. Are you thankful? Are you grateful for what you eat? You just take it as a granted right now. I mean, but when you come to Ukraine, you will see those people whom Putin trying to save and help, then you will change your mind.
So do you think this war is going to end? And what do you think Putin's ultimate goal is? Do you think he wants to take over all of Ukraine or just part of it?
I wish I know the answer about his final goal and what he's trying to get. For sure, for now, he's just trying to jump on the stage when he will jump on this negotiation, trying to say that, we're trying to give you something and just you're not following our compromise and all this stuff, you know. So, but his final goal is just to destroy us, to make us weaker and weaker. But at the same time, he's losing also a lot of respect from his citizens. Russians are leaving, so he doesn't want to be the loser. He doesn't want, and he will never admit that he lost something.
Do you think he would ever go? Do you think he would ever be backed into a corner where he start using tactical nukes?
That's his trick. He's manipulating. He has the power. He has access to this button, you know, and that's why he just playing with USA, with NATO, with the EU, saying, "I can do it. I can do it." But at the same time, we should understand that it shouldn't be happening. And all the world should do something. G20, let them decide something, just find a solution, not just to sit and just blah 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 without any final solution.
Tell me about the church. Tell me about the Christians. You go to a Baptist church.
Absolutely.
Does your pastor ever teach about Bible prophecy? Do you see any of this in Bible prophecy yourself personally? Like we talked about a little bit on Saturday when I met you. You know, you see an alliance going on with Russia and Iran and Turkey. I mean, in these in Syria, and these seem to be some of the countries listed in Ezekiel 38, 39 that build an alliance together. And there's your nation right in the middle of it. It seems like you guys might be also want to pay attention to Bible prophecy as well, and the rising of this Russian leader.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that we are listening to that prophecies, but it's also the possible that we are not, because I know that for sure the people during the World War I, World War II, Jewish, all the genocide around Jewish, they were also thinking about maybe that's it, maybe that's the end, maybe it's time, maybe we're the last nation and all this stuff. So we don't know. I mean, in our church in Rivne, we are not kind of concentrated on the prophecies. We know that the Bible is totally finished. 66 books, Old Testament, New Testament, that's the book we have. So we don't have the prophet right now, I mean, somewhere in the world who will tell us that's the specific day, that's when the Lord is coming. We know, we read in the Bible even now that it's written that the destruction, the death, the tears, the
wars, rumors of wars, famines, plagues.
Matthew, right.
Yeah, Matthew 24.
Exactly. So you see that it's happening even now. But the same things were happening before. Yes, right now we're more technology advanced people in the 21st century. We have cars which drive on the energy, Tesla and everything. We have iPhones. We have all these tools. Even me being here, Ukrainian, being in Memphis right now is also, I mean, flying. It's all technology. But at the same time, we don't know about the end. We don't know the exact day. But I know for sure that as a Christians, we should be ready to face God in a minute, in 10 minutes, in 10 hours, in 10 days, in 10 years, and you can keep going. So we need to be ready. So that's why I encourage each, me, myself, you, Brandon, and all our listeners and watchers, just to restore your relationship with God. Remember that God is in control of everything. We don't know the final goal, what's happening, and how all the situation will be solved, whether it's going to be ended only Russia-Ukraine war, or maybe it's going to be escalate and other countries will be involved. It's possible. We know and we read that it's possible. China, North Korea, United States, EU, just right now, because of the globalization, all this stuff is real. I mean, so that's why. But we as a Christian should stand firm, read the Bible, and just watch on the cross. Remember that someone died for us, for our sins, and it's first point in all this war. Just we are fighting for the souls of people. Whoever you are, Russian, Belarusian, Ukrainian, American, Mexican, whoever nation, whatever nationality you hold. But you need to remember that you need to have a Christ in your heart, so you stand firm when God will ask you.
Amen to that. Wow. Well, you guys can see why I wanted to interview him after meeting him. So in conclusion here, I guess as you come to America, and you see all the abundance and the grocery stores and the restaurants and the houses and everything, and then you go back to Ukraine, what will you say to your fellow Ukrainians about your visit to America?
Good question. First of all, once I will get to the border and I will cross the border, I'll be looking to see my wife and kids. For sure, I'm not going to say anything to them. I'm going to hug them, kiss them, and I will spend the first days with them, and whether it's going to be cold in my apartment or warm, I don't know, but I'll value my relationship with them, with my close friends, with my family. And talking about the people, believe me or not, but people, they watch the news, they see what's happening here. We also follow your elections, the Republicans, the Democrats. We follow like the news are telling us the truth, so I mean at least some truth, so we see what's happening. Maybe what I will tell them that Americans are standing for us, majority of them are standing for us, for Ukrainians.
And you know this because as you move around the Mid-South, just like when I heard your accent,
Right.
I wanted to know where you were from. So have a lot of people asked you, well, where are you from? Have you had a lot of that?
Yeah, my company, like employees at our company, Active Prospects, they were asking me, how are you doing? How can we support? What can we do for you? Well, being here in Memphis, many, many people are praying. I've been to 2 or 3 Bible studies. Today I've been to the Second Press, Amen, breakfast, morning breakfast, and people are asking, people are supporting, people are praying. So I will tell to my friends, to Ukrainians, whoever I will see, I will tell them that we're not alone.
So the message would be American Christians are praying for and are very concerned about Ukrainians.
Let's add also in the brackets, those whom I met. I don't know all American Christians. I mean, maybe somebody stand against that, but believe me or not, I mean, there are some people who are saying the war is not for the Christians. We shouldn't take the weapons. But listen to me, we're not trying to get something. We're trying to protect ourselves, protect our nation and our borders. For example, if somebody will Mexico will tell, we want Texas.
Right.
Give us Texas and that's it.
Right.
And then
no.
Next step will be Memphis, mm-hmm. Tennessee, Pennsylvania, and it will go to Washington State and everything else. And so that's what we're trying to protect our territory, to protect our independency. And that's why it's very important.
And, you know, I don't know if you know this, Roman, or not, but we have some confused Christians in America that think that Putin is a defender of Christianity. I have a video of one guy from one Christian program saying that Putin is a lion of Christianity because he's opposed to the LGBTQ community. An agenda. And I said, you know, just because you're opposed to the LGBTQ agenda doesn't mean you're some great Christian, okay? Maybe he's not for that because he doesn't want to see a breakdown of his society and the traditional Russian values that make for a strong nation and for the procreation, you know? I mean, he wants Russian men and women to have more Russian babies, right? Not less. So maybe he's standing for this position from pragmatism and national strength and national morality that builds the nationalism that moves forth Russia. It's not because he's defending chapter and verse of the Bible.
Exactly.
So I say to the ignorant American Christians that think Putin's somehow some defender of Christian values, the Russian Orthodox Church, many of them that are here, it's quite well known from many, many sources I've dealt with that Putin has infiltrated the Russian Orthodox Church in America with a lot of KGB. So I apologize for the ignorant so-called Christian Americans that want to defend Putin, because you and I both know he's evil.
Amen, for sure.
Amen.
He is evil, 100%.
Yeah. Well, we're going to ask our audience to pray. How can our audience pray for you and your friends and your family and your country?
As I said before, it will be great if you keep praying about the spiritual battle, because as I said before, whoever is dying, he's dying. That person is not going to have another life. It's like we say, the cats have 7 or what?
Yeah, nine lives.
Nine lives. So humans, they have only one life. And during this life, they need to restore their relationship with God. They need to understand who is God, what was done for them on the cross. So, and they need to accept God. Believe me or not, but according to friends I'm talking to from the front, a lot of majority of the soldiers, they believe in God. I mean, that the moment when you're just hidden in the shelter or somewhere down in the ground, and you have only seconds to pray, whatever prayer you know in whatever language, but you understand that you have seconds to survive and to restore your relationship. So, first point, please pray, keep praying about the spiritual battle, and so that's the chance to preach. If you want any time in your life to be a member of whatever mission trip, come to Ukraine right now, and you will get a lot of new believers. And
are you telling me that right now would be a great time to come and share the gospel with people in Ukraine?
Brandon, that's what I told you during the lunch. If you come right now, and if we go together to Mykolaiv, Kherson, you can start the biggest church in Ukraine probably, because those
and a lot of unchurched would come to hear what is being said, because they realize life is like that and it could be gone
Absolutely.
Tomorrow. And so right now, what you're saying to me is, there's a spiritual thirst in Ukraine because
Amen.
They realize that this material world can be fleeting.
For sure. People are eager. Some people are lost. They don't know whom to believe, what to believe. So that's why if you just open the gospel and just say there was someone who decided they will die for your sins. So you can just, in simple words, just preach to them. So this is the first thing to spiritual battle. Then please keep praying so we'll continue our partnership with the United States, with the EU, with the NATO, so we'll have those weapons to close the sky. So as I said before, that the land pretty much is under our control, but the sky is still in danger. I mean, those missiles you heard yesterday, yep. Around 100% missile attack, this bombardment on Ukraine, on all Ukrainian cities. I mean, all of them, not just on the east, like even we got some strikes. So keep praying about this partnership. So our partners, our friends, I'm not going to name them because you all know who are they, who are with Ukraine. So they will keep supporting us. And of course, keep praying about people who are in Ukraine, like local people. So they keep staying in Ukraine, keep investing in Ukraine, keep working, keep being motivated and not leaving Ukraine. So, and yeah, there are many other things, but that's wow. Those three I would like to name.
Absolutely, Roman. Well, we're going to definitely ask our audience to pray. And you've got my text. We're texting back and forth. We'd love to. Obviously, I didn't realize you're an IT guy. So obviously, you could get on by Skype and give us some reports from there.
Easily. Skype, Zoom calls. We can do more meetings.
And I would love to find out more about your church. I'd love to find out more about your church, some of the things you're doing. Maybe we could help bring some funds to your church, particularly if your church is getting very aggressive in giving out the gospel and sharing the gospel with people.
Yeah,
I mean, this would be a chance for us to partner with your church.
We're only for that because I can share many videos, pictures. So we're not kind of, again, this is not about corruption. This is about reality. People are hungry. People have no homes. People just want to have at least some shelter. So that's why our church is very much involved in that.
So is your church using this to bring humanitarian aid and comfort, but do they then take that once they have a listening ear because they've shown compassion? Do they use that then to share the gospel and give them the Bibles or what?
Absolutely. That's our initial goal, to share the gospel. We're bringing food supplies, we're bringing food packages and other stuff.
Do you have enough Bibles?
I don't know. I mean, I've been here 2 weeks, so
okay. What I'm offering is if you could find out if you need Bibles.
But
find out if you need Bibles.
Small-sized Bibles.
Yes.
And in Ukrainian. So.
Yes, if we could, because maybe we could raise some funds and have shipped small Bibles in Ukraine, written in your language, Ukrainian language.
Right, right.
So we could help to do that, right, John?
That's a great idea. And
because I imagine with, excuse my voice, but I could imagine with what's going on with war, sometimes basic things like printing and everything is getting interrupted and shipping. And
absolutely.
So maybe we could talk to you about that.
As I said before, we are open to whatever cooperation. I mean, we have the Christian mayor in our city, and he's also welcoming, and he does like doing different partnership. So that's why, in case you have a chance, I mean, we accept whatever aid, help. So, and again, we're
yeah. Well, I know there's a ton of people watching this show that thought if they could get Ukrainian, the Bible in the Ukrainian language to more people, they'd do it in a heartbeat. I mean, it would be a shame to find out that your church wants to give out Bibles and you don't have Bibles, you know. So you stay in touch with us. You got my text, I got yours.
Right.
We're going to be praying for you, Roman, and your
appreciate
wife and children. And John here has gone to Ukraine how many times? Did you say 60 times?
More than 60.
John, you've been to Ukraine 60 times. And he works with the orphanages over there?
Absolutely, yeah. Our orphanages and also those students who graduated from orphanages, because I mean, working in the orphanage, that's one part of the business, but then of the ministry. But when the kids graduated, they have no place to work, they need some support, just have someone to text, to ask how are you doing, what are you doing today, or and John is doing that's a great job. He's all the time in touch with them. There are so many kids whom he know who graduated, and also very interesting but important point that those graduates from the orphanage and who we were in touch with, they're in front.
They've gone to the front line.
They're about.
So you've watched little kids grow up, John. They're now on the front line.
About 30, 35 of them, and
so yeah. I guess you're worried, obviously, because you've watched these little kids grow up. Now they're grown men, and now they're off on the front line.
Already had two die.
And yeah.
So, John, you fell in love with the Ukrainian people, didn't you? Wow. Wow. So John's been there 60 times.
More than 60 times. And also his
wife. Is that how you and John met?
Yeah.
His travels there?
Yes. John, the first time, one of his first time, he was coming to the camp, and I was asked to, they offered me to translate, and I was still in high school. So it was a good chance for me to meet Americans, to improve.
So you met John when you were in high school?
Yes. Long ago. long ago. And then his wife also started coming as well. So their family is just a big blessing for all Ukrainians. So we do thank you, John and Marilyn Whitmore, and their church and all their friends. So
amen.
We do appreciate.
Is this your first time in America?
Fifth
time. Okay. Well, because she said the other night you're about to have your first American hamburger.
First American during this visit.
Okay.
So, but,
all right.
But we do have McDonald's in Rivne, so that's why.
You do have a McDonald's, though.
Cheeseburger, hamburger, and french fries are not something new for us.
Okay. All right. Well, let's stay in touch. And amen. I appreciate you making time for us today. And tomorrow you fly home.
Absolutely.
Okay. God bless you. And
my
I know
pleasure.
You have no clue how many people are watching, but I'm telling you, a lot of people are watching this. And then when it re-airs and gets posted all over, you got more that watch it. You're going to have a lot of people praying for you, John. Or I mean, Roman. And for John, too.
And for John.
So stay in touch with us by text.
We'll be. Thank you.
All right.